Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Infinity Repertory Theater's Modcast. Today I'm your host, Mickey Melillo. Tomorrow, I will be your host, Mickey Melillo. Today is July 10th, 2012. I'm sitting here today with a former artistic director for Infinity Repertory Theater and currently playing one of the Susans in our production of Mod, Miss Emma Wellington. Emma, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's start off, obviously, with Mod. That's the whole reason we are here. Tell me a little bit about your experience with Mod thus far.
I've had a really, really good experience with Mod. It's with a lot of people who I'm really close with and I've known for a while, and I also got to become closer with a lot of new people, and it's been a really, really good experience so far. Working on a show for this amount of time is long as I've ever worked on a show, so it's really...
We started rehearsing February, March time frame, and it's now July, so it's been 4 to 5 months already.
Right.
Tell me about Mod. Tell to me about Mod in your own words.
Well, Mod is really relatable. I think that's why a lot of the cast members like it. It's because we're not playing adults. We're not playing little kids. We're playing kids our age, just in a different time period. But they like the same thing. You know, they listen to music and magazines and... They act the way we do, so I think we have a lot of fun in that sense. And the songs are really fun and upbeat, and we have a lot of fun singing and doing the show. So that's why I like Mod.
And tell me a little bit about Susan. Now, in the first Modcast, when I had the entire current cast here, I asked you to give me one word to describe Susan. You said loyalty, and then you said loyalty. So tell me why you feel Susan is loyal, and tell me a little bit more about your character in general.
Well, Susan and Rory have like a long backstory, and which continues in the show. Susan and Rory are best friends. They're like brother and sister. They've always have been. She sort of develops feelings for him, and he obviously doesn't until the end. The reason why I feel Susan is loyal is because even when Rory, you know, says... I don't feel the same way about you. She still helps him go to the jail when she finds out he's been arrested, and always is always there for him, even though she might not be the happiest person in the world at that time. She's still loyal to him and keeps their friendship going, like by helping him out. So that's why I feel like she's loyal.
Okay. Now, in not too much longer, in about 11 days, we're going to be opening in New York City.
Yes.
And first question is, have you ever performed in New York City before?
I have not.
Okay, so this will be your off-Broadway debut.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I'm really excited to be able to say that I made my off-Broadway debut at 15. So that'll be really fun. I'm really excited for the experience.
What has been one of the main challenges? I've asked everybody else this. What has been one of the main challenges for you, with whether it be Susan or the show in general?
One of the main challenges would be somewhere between having to stay faithful to the show and still, like, being, like, because we are working on it for a really long time, so, like, you know, still stay engaged and, like, ready to work. And also, because it's an original show, changing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Having new lines being added, new lines taken out, and trying to remember which script we're currently on is definitely one of the bigger challenges. And, like, you know, some lines that may be taken out that were a changing point in your character, so now you have to figure out where that changing point will happen. So that's definitely one of the biggest challenges, is the changing scripts.
Okay. Now, not too long after we close in New York City, you get to record the soundtrack, and then we fly off to Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to Scotland before?
I have not.
Okay. So this is going to be your first time in Edinburgh, and obviously for the Fringe Festival. Tell me what you imagine the Fringe Festival to be like.
I imagine the Fringe Festival to be a very crowded street fair, with a lot of music and a lot of people and a lot of costumes, very chaotic, but I am... more than excited to go. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, now getting back to the actual show of Mod for a second. You mentioned before that your character mainly interacts with Rory as well as all the other characters. And for this run, for the past few weeks, we've been rehearsing with Tom Oliverio.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we were rehearsing with Justin Santor. How do you feel about that change? Is it working? Is it not working? Do you feel, what is the main difference between Tom and Justin?
I think I have to give credit to Tom. I think he's adapting really well. You know, he's coming into a cast that is already very close-knit, having already performed the show without him, with Justin. But Tom's doing a really good job of working his way into a very close-knit cast already. Differences between Justin and Tom. There are quite a few, but I think they're both good. You know, Justin played the character more of like a cool guy, and Tom is doing more of an innocent guy. But a lot of it also has to do with the script changes. But I think it's good. I think both ways work really well, and I like both ways a lot. So we'll see how it works.
Okay. Now we're talking about Justin a little bit, and when Justin did his podcast last week, I asked him to talk about every cast member. So I'm going to ask you to return the thing. Tell me what you missed the most about Justin being here. And if you want, and I know he'll listen, tell me what you don't miss the most about Justin.
Well, Justin was, he was good to work with him because he was older and he had a lot more experience with, he's done a lot more shows than we had. And he was just a fun person to hang out with. What? I don't know. It was fun working with him. He's definitely missed in the cast, so.
Okay. All right. Now, since we're talking about shows and talking about past and Justin's experience, let's talk about your experience. Now, when did you start in theater? How long ago?
I started in theater when I was 7. And my first show with Paul, I was 9.
Okay.
And I've been here ever since.
Can you give me a quick rundown? You don't have to hit every single show, but give us a little bit of background about Emma, about first show in theater,
show
all the way to Mog.
Was SWAC, and I was on Lily Pad. And then, Into the Woods, Seussical, Aladdin, Les Mis, High School Musical 2, Beauty and the Beast, You're in Town, 13, Tommy, Spelling Bee, I missed Spelling Bee in there. I can't remember all of them. I've been in a lot.
I know, you haven't. You ended on Spelling Bee, and I'm going to talk about Spelling Bee a little bit because that is where I first met you.
Right.
I know you were in Tommy with me, but I didn't know you that well. But Spelling Bee, and I know that show means a lot to the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about Spelling Bee. You played the role of Leaf Coney Bear.
Leaf Coney Bear. It was a great part. I was kind of thrown in. I was asked to audition by Paul, but I wasn't an Infinity member yet, so he asked me to just audition for the little ensemble roles that were just like the little one-liner kind of roles. And then I got there wasn't enough cast members, so I was put as a, I was kind of thrown into this Infinity show being a lot younger than everyone else, I knew like 2 people, and it was really, really good because I kind of learned how to get my act together like so young because I had never done a show with that many older people and like experienced people before. So I kind of saw how they worked off each other and how quickly they got their stuff together and how fast they were memorized and all everything. So I kind of learned and I've taken that knowledge with me. So it was good in that sense, yeah.
What is one of your favorite memories about Spelling Bee?
Spelling Bee. I liked playing my character because I haven't gotten a lot of character roles since then or before then, and it was one of my first and only character roles, and it was fun getting laughs. I remember when you say a line on stage and the whole audience roars, it's the best feeling in the world. So my character was kind of the comic relief of the show when I was on stage, and it was great to have the audience laugh when they're supposed to.
I have to say I've got 2 very fond memories. I'm going to start off with what wound up being put into the show was when you were out in the Spelling Bee, and if you haven't seen the show, I'm really sorry, I'm spoiling it for you, but Coney Bear does not win the Spelling Bee at the end. Part of it was that we made it so that you didn't want to go off stage. So you just, the character Mitch Mahoney was chasing you all around the stage, it was played by Marcus, and just you were being chased around the stage and you left your helmet and you yelled, "My helmet, I need my helmet!"
Right.
And I grabbed it and threw it off stage and then 3 seconds later, out of nowhere, "Thank you!" One of my favorite moments of you.
Mm-hmm.
And my second one is probably the moment that I just, you know, it was like when you fall in love with a puppy dog, it's probably the moment that I, puppy dog, fell in love with you. The moment in the play where you fell off the bench.
Right.
I've said this 1.5 million times to you, but for the sake of the listeners. When in the show, in the bench setup, I sit in the front row, which is pretty much the ground level of the bleachers, and Emma sat behind me. And at one point in the show, it's part of the show that Coney Bear falls off the bleachers. Well, she fell off the bleachers, and she's sitting there, and her line after it is just, "I fell." But she had looked up at me with these big blue eyes looking at me, and just went, "I fell." And my character's supposed to point and laugh at her, and I just went, "Aw." And it's honestly probably the first moment that I, not that I say I never noticed you before, but the first moment that I really got to know you. And after that, we started rolling you around the theater on a rolly chair. It's probably the moment that I was like, yeah, this girl's great. She's a great actress. I love her. So, do you miss Spelling Bee?
Of course I miss Spelling Bee. I miss the whole show. It was a great show. It was a great cast. There was not one person in that cast who I didn't enjoy working with. It was a great experience, especially for my first run in an Infinity show as a second year, not even as an Infinity member. It was a great experience. I miss it every day.
And then after that show, the next year, you wound up becoming artistic director. So tell me about your time as artistic director for this
company. It was an accident, actually, that I became artistic director. There was two former Infinity members who were going to be artistic director together, and I was voted by my class as their assistant. When that summer they decided that it wasn't for them and they weren't going to continue next year, I was kind of thrown into this artistic director job, having never been in the company along with the rest of my classmates who had never first time experiencing the company. So it was a really, really good experience because ever since then, even though I haven't been artistic director since then, I've kind of already had this authority job and I've known how to work with the company. I've always been good with other people, kind of taking charge without being a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to say that's one of my stronger points. So it was a really good experience, especially having no one else know what was going on either, because we were all just kind of thrown in it together. There was no former Infinity members at that time. So Paul helped me out a lot in that sense. And it was I really, really enjoyed it. It was stressful at moments, I'm not going to deny that, but it was fun.
And I have to mention that, you know, since that point, you've never been not a director. You haven't been artistic director, but last year you were managing under Brian, and this year your development for Lindsay's tenure. So I mean, 3 years in a row you've been on what I like to call the cabinet.
Right.
So I mean, good for you. I mean, you've taken a lot of leadership roles. So all throughout high school, right now you're kind of, you know, you're doing it, and you're with Infinity, and you are one of the most, you know, one of the more dedicated members. I'm not going to say there's anybody that's not a dedicated member, but You are a dedicated member. You do a lot for the company. I do see that. I know Paul sees that too. Okay. No problem. Now we talked about members, and we talked about Lindsay. Lindsay, your best friend.
Yes.
And we talked. There's a story that she had mentioned when I spoke to her a few weeks ago in regards to how you, about a year ago, got her into Harry Potter.
I did.
So let's hear the other half of this story.
Me and Lindsay have been really close for about a year now, very, very close, and I have loved Harry Potter for a while. I would always talk about Harry Potter, and she'd be like, no, stop talking about it, I don't want to hear it, and I was like, well, so she was over one day, and we walked up to this little deli by my house, and we decided to go get a bagel, and I was sitting with her eating a bagel, and I was like, just let me tell you about it, so maybe you'll like it, and we could watch the movies, and you'll get into it, we could talk about it together. She was like, fine. So I tell her about it, takes me a while, we walk back to her house, it's like a 15-minute walk, and we're walking, and by the end, and I tell her all about it, and by the time we go back to our house, she was like, oh, let's watch the movies, like, let's, and ever since then, she read all the books, she watched all the movies, she's absolutely in love with Harry Potter, so now we're like the little wizard friends.
And you guys had a special experience in November of this year?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about it?
She, for my birthday, she surprised me with tickets to the Quidditch World Cup. I think it was
Randall's Island.
Yes, that's where it was. With tickets to the Quidditch World Cup, and we got all dressed up, and we went to go watch these intense Quidditch games, and it was really, really fun.
Tell us about the games a little bit, because everybody knows Quidditch from the movies. You're flying on a broom, you got the quaffle, you got the gold, you got the golden snitch flying around. Mm-hmm. Tell us how they adapted it to the Muggle world.
Right, so they had like a bunch of different games going on, and they would hold the broomsticks in between their legs, and like the quaffle was like a volleyball, and the rest were dodgeballs, and the snitch was a person dressed in all gold, like painted all gold, with a little tennis ball on their side, and would run around the entire stadium, and you'd see them in trees, you'd see, you know, like snitches like in the trees and running around and flying past you, and they'd play Quidditch with brooms in between their legs, and they would throw them into the hoops, which were hula hoops on sticks, and it was so much fun.
Now, who were these teams, though? I mean, is it like...
It were colleges.
They were colleges. So
there
are college teams, Harvard, Yale,
absolutely.
Princeton, College of New Rochelle, there they have Quidditch teams, and they all flew to New York to play in the
Quidditch 20-member Quidditch teams.
Really?
It was so fun.
maybe you should start a John Jay High School Quidditch
team. it was a blast.
A couple of days ago, you know, Facebook is the lifeline for everything with the kids and everybody nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll post that Lindsay put, and all it said was, best day ever with Emma Wellington. Why don't you tell us about your best day ever?
Well, me and Lindsay went into the city, and we were planning to go see Rent, which is our all-time favorite musical in the entire world. That's where we kind of first met while we were doing that show together. That's where we met and became instant best friends. We went into the city, and it's performing off-Broadway, and it's closing soon, so we're like, oh, we want to go see it before it closes. And so we went in, we were going to enter the lottery, which is if they pick 16 people, and you win the lottery, you get front row seats for $25. And we're like, oh, we'll enter it. If not, we have the student discount. We can get it for $50.
Mm-hmm.
So we entered the lottery, and we won. And we got dead center front row seats. And the show was fantastic. Like, we were so close, and it was snowing on us, and props were falling on us, and the cast members were waving at us, and it was fantastic. We met the cast afterwards, and it was so much fun. They were so nice. They were so, so talented and so good. And on our way back to Grand Central, we walked through this giant flea market that was our entire walk back to Grand Central. So we shopped so much there, and it was a really, really fun day. And it was nice weather, and it was great.
Is there any other shows that, Rent is your number one
show.
It's you and Lindsay's show. What other show would you say is like...
Spring Awakening. We had a lot of fun together in Spring Awakening. A lot of fun. And, yeah. Or Priscilla. Maybe Priscilla, too, because we went to go see that together, and we both loved it. But I'd say Spring Awakening.
Now, let's take Lindsay out of it. Emma,
okay.
What, besides those shows, is there any show that you love? On Broadway, off Broadway, current, classical, any show that you're like...
I have to think about that one, because I love a lot of, whenever I see a show, I fall in love with it. I loved Peter and the Starcatchers. I absolutely loved it.
And Peter and the Starcatchers is an odd show because it's a play with music. It's
not.
It has
like two or three group songs.
But it's not a musical in a sense because
it's not categorized as a musical.
Exactly, because in the Tony Awards, it won for
best
play. So, and it's really odd because you don't normally hear that.
Yeah, there's like two or three songs that can't be purchased, they're not on iTunes, they're not anything, and but it was just, it was such a great, the talent on that stage was just fantastic. You could really appreciate how hard the acting was working because there was no songs.
Mm-hmm.
It was just pure acting ability, and it was unreal. It was good to see. The reason why I love the show so much is because ever since I was a little girl, Peter Pan has been my favorite Disney movie thing ever. I've just loved it ever since I was little. I would watch the movie like 10 times a day. Like, it was my favorite. And being Peter and the Starcatchers being a prequel to Peter Pan was, I read the books when I was little. My dad read them to me. And having that be a prequel to Peter Pan was an instant connection, an instant want to go see it. And it really, really held up. So
Peter and Starcatcher is a book that
mm-hmm.
they adapted to a stage play.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, I'm going to use Wicked as an example, which is a prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
But it was more written in somebody else's vision, not really a book was made
mm-hmm.
to show the prequel of The Wicked Witches, or
mm-hmm.
The Wicked Witch of the West and Glinda the Good Witch. Peter and the Starcatchers were books that, yes, were made after Peter Pan, but it wound up being a series, if I'm correct.
Yeah, there's like three or four books. I'm not sure how many, but I do know my dad read them to me when I was a little girl, and I loved them. So that's why I wanted to go see the show. But yeah, it is a series.
So you would say Peter and the Starcatcher is probably one of your favorite shows.
I hate to say that because it's like it was the last show I've seen,
mm-hmm.
but it really was, since it's so close to my heart, like just Peter Pan, and having it be like, I kind of like the fact that it wasn't a musical because you could really appreciate the actor's acting ability. It was just fantastic. So, yes. Yeah.
As an actor yourself, you mentioned before that you played in numerous, numerous shows, so many that you can't even rattle them off off the top of your head. Can you tell me, you throw away Coney Bear. Tell me your most favorite, memorable role that you've ever played.
I've had a lot. This past year, I've had a good run with roles. I've gotten the roles that I've wanted. And I hate to pick one because I'm so thankful for all the roles that I've gotten. My most memorable, I had two.
Okay.
I have Little Sally in You're in Town, and I have Kira in Xanadu. Those are, I loved all my roles. I loved all my, every single one of them. But those are the two memorable ones.
Tell me why.
Little Sally was the first lead that I got. I've gotten a couple when I was younger, but I didn't really count those because I was little.
Mm-hmm.
This was my first like real one. And it was a tough competition, and I worked really, really hard. That was the hardest up to that point that I had worked for an audition. So I remember working really, really hard for it and having it be a really close call and being really excited when I got it. And so I made sure I worked really hard on that one, and I was just really happy because it was my first time in the older cast, and getting a lead that I wanted was really exciting.
Okay, and now tell me about Kira in Xanadu.
Kira in Xanadu. I liked that role because it was my first main stage lead, so where the show pretty much revolved around my character. And it was fun because I got to work off one of my best friends, Bacon, and I got to work off of Lindsay as well. And it was really, it's just a great show. You leave smiling with it. So it was good to be playing an Australian goddess on roller skates.
How did you learn to roller skate once you got the role, or did you know?
I didn't know how to roller skate, but I didn't have a lot of trouble learning. Like, I bought them for the audition, and I was just roller skating around the stage, like, no problem. I didn't really have trouble learning how to do it.
Now, I gotta mention, because I grew up roller skating on what you use, what they're called. I call them double doubles, but they're called quads.
Yeah.
They're the skates that have two wheels in front, two wheels in back. Nobody was allowed, because of the period of the show, which was the early 80s, nobody was allowed to wear rollerblades. So I want to make sure everybody was... Rollerblades didn't exist in the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
So when Emma had to strap on roller skates, she wasn't rollerblading, she was roller skating. So I really want everybody to know that she didn't know how to do this beforehand, and to learn on those is actually very, very difficult.
Yeah.
When we go to Edinburgh, coming up, tell me about some of the shows that you want to see. I already know the number one that you want to see, sitting right by Lindsay's side... is Anthony Rapp Without You.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Is there anything else? I mean, we've had the program with us. What other shows are you interested in seeing?
I want to see, you know, Red to Spring Awakening, because those are my favorites.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorites. I want to see straight shows. I want to see good actors. It's great when an actor can sing and just stand on a stage and sing a ballad and just be in awe. But I want to see a good actor. Like, I don't know specifically, because I don't know a lot of straight shows. That's kind of why I want to go see straight shows, is because I just want to see someone who has just pure talent. I'd also like to see Last 5 Years, because I saw that in the Playbill a couple times, and since we just did it here, I want to see how it's done, because it's only two people in the cast, so how different can it be, but you'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't really think of it. I'm sure I'll go see a jillion more, but...
I can tell you, when I went 2 years ago to Edinburgh, one of my favorite shows, and I'm a big musical person, you know that, one of my favorite shows was A Clockwork Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And all because of, I was handing out postcards, and this girl was 7 feet tall standing next to me. And we got into a conversation, and she gave me a postcard, and I went to see her show. I honestly thought I was going to see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
But because I, psychiatric institutions, I got confused. I went in there, and I saw it, and it was the best show I saw. And I saw over 50 shows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny on what you find and
right.
how you find it, what's going to be your favorite show when you're over at the Fringe. And the Fringe is just amazing, because the best part about after seeing that show was I knew exactly who was in the show. I knew exactly where they'd be. I went out to High Street while they were promoting, and I went to every single person in the show and told them what I thought about it. And they all remembered me because... I gave him a standing ovation at the end of the show, so they all thanked me as an audience member, which is something you know, that's what the bow's for, to thank the audience, but then they actually have them 17. Thank you. Right.
Right.
This past, in the fall, as you know, Steve Loftus and I are best friends.
Uh-huh.
We took a trip down to Walt Disney World,
uh-huh.
and I picked you up a little present there. Why don't you tell everybody what I picked you up and why?
Mickey Mouse ears that had like the princess on it, like a big princess veil, and because my nickname is Princess.
Why don't you tell us where the nickname Princess derives?
me, Lindsay, and Mickey, we're getting lunch at Subway, and Lindsay meant to say Princess Emma Wellington. For whatever reason, I don't know why she was calling me Princess Emma Wellington, but she said Princess Ellington by mistake, and then it just kind of stuck. And I've just been Princess ever since. And my nickname is Princess. So that's where, it just started randomly.
Randomly, we went to Subway with the posters of the big cucumbers and onions and tomatoes all over the place. And then what I really loved was over the winter break, you went up to Lake Placid.
Uh-huh.
And you were picking me up a snow cone.
Oh, God.
And I thought that was the best that you thought of me, and you were bringing me home a present, and unfortunately...
It broke in my bag!
It broke in your bag!
And it got all over the place! I'm
now,
so sorry about that!
Well, she's sorry about that, and I feel bad because she picked up a present for me that broke in her bag,
yeah.
And now she's got little flakes of fake snow,
yeah.
And water all over the place, and I'm like, thank you! I feel bad about
yeah.
it!
No, don't feel bad, it was... I was like, oh, I have to get Mickey something because he got me the princess ears. So I got him a little snow globe with a moose in it. It's like Lake Placid. I put it in my bag to bring to theater. And I guess I dropped my bag too hard or something fell on it and it broke and it shattered all over the place.
I feel bad at all.
That
just means you got to get me a snow globe in Edinburgh. What are you looking forward to most about this experience of the city and going to Edinburgh? What are you looking forward to?
I'm excited for many reasons. One thing, I get to live in an apartment with some of my absolutely closest friends who are considered like sisters in the middle of Scotland for 3 weeks. So that's awesome, and I'm so excited for that. I am so excited to be able to perform every night, or, you know, on and off with Allie, but I get to, you know, pretty much be there every night. Just like a professional job, like on Broadway or off Broadway. I can't wait to see how I like that because I can imagine I'd like it. You know, I want to perform every day, every chance that I get. So I can't imagine not liking it, but I get to see and I'm so excited to do that. And we're in the biggest, oldest, and like most promoted theater. Yeah, so I get to be in there and be like one of the top shows at prime time. So that's going to be fun.
Yes, it's going to be very fun just being a part of the Fringe itself. Even though I'm not going to be on stage, it's the second time I'm going as a stage manager, TD. It's an experience all in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to be great for you guys is, I'm not going to say the fame. I don't want you guys to get a big ego that you're going to be absolutely famous, but you are going to get recognized. You're going to be walking down High Street and you're going to be doing your performances and people are going to be like, oh my God, there's Maude. Because we've already got this buzz going on. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
I am so excited for that. I've never had that experience of being recognized on the street, and I can't wait, even though it won't be like a huge big deal. I'm so excited to be recognized and have people tell us how great we're performing, because we work really hard for it, and I think we deserve it. And I can't wait.
You have 4 sold-out performances right now.
That's crazy.
In New York City. We've just got an update, and... You know, we may not be sold out, but we got 220-seat theater, but we sold nearly 100 tickets in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And what's amazing about that is that nobody knows us. It's not like it's your parents buying the tickets, it's our friends buying the tickets. These are strangers that are seeing a blurb in a magazine that has 20,000 shows in it. We've already sold 100 tickets, and it's a little less than a month before we get there. How does that make you feel?
That's absolutely crazy. That's insane. And I'm so thankful to those 100 people who bought those tickets who have no idea who we are, because that's fantastic. That's great. And I hope they enjoy the show. I hope we do it justice. And I can't even believe that. That's amazing.
Now we're flying across the pond and we're doing a show about Beatlemania.
Hmm.
And we're going to where they're from. Where they're from England. They're from the UK. You feel like there's going to be any type of pressure that you're doing a show... An Americanized show about the Beatles. It's not Beatles songs.
Right.
It's about the British invasion and Beatlemania.
I never thought of it that way, but that's a very good point. That is a lot of pressure, but I think, you know, we've worked really hard on this show, and we are kids. No, like, our oldest member is 18. So I think we can pull it. I think we can do it.
I think you guys can. I'll be honest with you. I have never lied to you in the 3 years
mm-hmm.
that I've known you. You guys, you know, you guys are almost there.
Yeah.
You guys got to get just a little bit more, and I know you guys would be great.
I think we have it in us, especially when we see the competition in Edinburgh and see, like, how professional other places are, whether they be 10 years older than us or, you know, or the same age as us. I think once we see that, we'll get our act together, and I think we're almost there now. So I think we can.
You're almost there. You guys are almost there. You step up that one step,
mm-hmm.
you guys are there.
I think we'll be able to do that once, especially once we get to Edinburgh, if not New York.
I have faith in you.
Yeah.
So, well, Emma, thank you very much. I appreciate you hanging out with me for half an hour.
Yeah.
That you Yeah, Emma is one of the improv teachers for the summer workshop here, currently doing Schoolhouse Rock. And her and Catherine Saraceno, who we'll speak to in a future podcast, were great teaching the improv.
Yeah.
And it's kind of great because I was their improv teacher for the past couple of years,
hey.
Too. So they allowed me to, it was the reversal of roles. They were the teachers, and I wound up just performing in games with them. So it was great. So thank you for that. Thank you for sitting with me. And since we got rehearsal coming up very soon, we're going to end our modcast. And with our next modcast, we will be sitting down with the other Susan, Miss Allie Gibbs. For more information about Mod, please go to modthemusical.com. See you later. Mod will be produced in New York City at the 59 East 59th Street Theater's East Edinburgh Festival on July 21st and 22nd, as well as July 26th through 29th. All shows are at 7 p.m. For ticketing information, please go to 59e59.org. In Edinburgh, Scotland, Mod will be produced at venue number 50 CECA at the Edinburgh College of Art at Lady Lawson and Lauriston Place. Mod will be produced every night from August 3rd to August 19th at 8:15 p.m. For ticketing information, please go to www.edfringe.com. For more information about the show, cast, and crew, please go to modthemusical.com.